Okay, we'll begin. We're going to pick up with what we did last week. We're talking about the Nusach HaTfilah. We're going to do part two of, hopefully two. If we don't do everything here inside, we'll hopefully at least get through all of it outside. And then next week we'll, like I said, hopefully we'll do a Chanukah topic, some type of Hilchot Chanukah topic next week. So now we're going to try to get through the rest of this. Thank you. The sources on different Nusach HaTfilah. Last week we talked, we noted, basically there were three opinions that we talked about last week about the different Nuschot. Opinion number one we saw was from Igrat Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein, who on the question was that somebody's father Davin Nusach Svard, which was the Hasidim's Nusach, that they took Nusach Ashkenaz and they amended it a little bit. So his father davened Nusach Svard, and he wanted to know if he should, and this person went to a yeshiva that was davening Nusach Ashkenaz, so he was always davening Nusach Ashkenaz with his yeshiva. Now that he was done, he wanted to know whether he should switch to what his father does or not. So Moshe basically said to him, well, really what your father does is different from what your great-great-grandfather did, because Nusach Ashkenaz was our Nusach for thousands of years, and only up till the 1800s was it changed. So Moshe said he thinks that you should do, given those two choices, he thinks that the person should continue davening Nusach Ashkenaz because that's really the Nusach of his forefathers. We saw two tshuvot from Rav Avadi Yosef. One of them was about a community they didn't know which Nusach to choose. A North African community. Most of the people wanted to do like some type of Eidot HaMizrach Nusach. And the younger people wanted to do Nusach Achid, which I think was what they had davened in the army, so they were all had been accustomed to that. That was question one. Question two to Rav Avadia that we saw was about a school that 90% of the people were Sfaradim. But they were davening in that school, they were davening Nusach Sfard maybe. I don't remember what Nusach they were davening. They were not davening a Sfaradi Nusach. So in both places, he basically says everybody, you can go up. It's going upwards. You can move up. In Ashkenazi or other people or Nusach Svard can move up to Davin, Eidot HaMizrach type Nusach, but not vice versa. And then we saw a middle ground opinion from the Chasam Sofer and the Maharam Shik, who was defending the Chasam Sofer. And they both basically said that the Nuschot are equal. They're equal. We had some, the Chasam Sofer says that every Nusach is the same, but there's a different style, and it's kol olim, olim lemakom echad, the last line on page two. Every tefillah is going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't say that one is better than the other. And the Maharam Shik even suggested that it's possible, and the Chasam Sofer's big line that led to some type of dispute was that the Arizal, who took like a Svaradi style Nusach and added his Kabbalah to it. He only did that, says the Chasam Sofer, because the Arizal spent most of his life in Egypt, and that was the Nusach that they were davening, so that was the Nusach that he chose. But that doesn't necessarily mean that a Nusach Svaradi is better than any sort of Nusach Ashkenaz. It just that it happened to be that's where the Arizal was, which led to some pushback on that claim. And the Maharam Shik says, not only that, it's possible that had the Ari lived with the davening Nusach Ashkenaz, he might have decided not to change anything, because it's already perfect, right? That was the underlined in source A. And I thought that was a really good line, right? Maybe he says Hakol Yafa Hakol Mutukan Heitev, right? Maybe Nusach Ashkenaz was so perfect that he wouldn't have done anything to it. And that was what we did. We did those three opinions last week, and this week we're going to kind of go with this middle ground of the Nuschot, or largely they're all good. We'll just see the Aruch HaShulchan in source 9 takes the same opinion. He says that the differences are very small. We'll skip towards the end of it because just for interest of time. But he says umab ulakulanu at the two lines up from the bottom in source 9 from the Aruch HaShulchan. He says ulakulanu Torah achat u'mishpat echad u'tfila achat. Right, there's we're one Torah and one set of rules and one prayer. I.e., we're all saying the same type of prayers. Umikam chayisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Right, we're one people. And he says chalila lasot pirud. Right, it would be terrible. We can't make separations amongst us to say one is better. One nusach is better than the other. At the end he says if somebody says this, he thinks they're a ksil ubar. He thinks that it's foolish thing to say that it's just kind of harsh language given that we've seen some poskim who do in fact think that one of them is better than the other. The Aruch HaShulchan, writing 130 years ago maybe, he's of the strong opinion that really it's all good. All the nuschot are good. Yeah, so was a question?
It seems like the way this keeps coming up, that there were constantly undercurrents saying that my nuch is better than yours, or this is the real nusach.
Imagine people.
Jewish people keep having to remake.
You're right. And the Aruch HaShulchan, he's very much stressing here. He's like Chas v'Shalom Yesh Pirud. Yeah, God forbid that we should have a separation and we should have machloket. Yeah, yeah. You're right. There probably was a lot of it. Probably. Well, we've seen that the nusach's part of the Chassidim, they were the ones who I think predominantly, I think Rav Avadia Yosef says that the nusach Sfaradi was the better one. The Chassidim also said the nusach Sfard was the better one, and probably that this could be part of that the Nisnaged Chassidic fight that was going on at the time too.
It's hard to understand. Like, what does it mean? It's the better one. Like God likes it better. You know.
Yeah, I think it's. I think that Rav Avadia Yosef in that tshuva said that it was worked better. More likely to be accepted.
It started out with no nusach at all.
Right.
Everybody said whatever he wanted in his own words, right, to the best of his or her ability.
Yeah.
To the point where we have all these different formalized nuschaot, and then they're debating which one is really the correct one.
And then they're debating which one is the correct one.
Yeah.
For some of the poskim, yeah, for some of them, like the Aruch HaShulchan here, for the Chasam Sofer, they're saying that there's no debate which is the best one. It's an interesting question, because the question is, well, what happened in the year 1400 before the Arizal, right? Or was anybody talking about this, or was just in the 1500s, the early 1500s?
And
it's only post Arizal.
What happened to the person who's not educated and wants to start praying to God, but doesn't know a specific nusach and means he can't, or
no. So we're actually the next source that we're going to get into is, now that we have that we've seen all these things, what should we do? And really, what we're going to say, this is really just a building block here, because there's going to be exceptions, very very interesting exceptions to this rule. But the Pnine Halacha tells us v'ra'oi shekol Yehudi in source 10 yamshich b'minhag avotav. Right, that's the best thing. I think you can only say such a statement really. Maybe I'm not as confident in saying this, but you have to assume that the nuschot are somewhat equal if you're going to tell people the best thing is to continue the nusach of your fathers. If you would assume that one nusach is better than the other, then it could very well be you would tell somebody, don't do that. Like, well, Rav Moshe was kind of saying which one is really the nusach of your father, but Rav Avad Yosef, I might have, well, also all sounding like nusach Eidot HaMizrach is better than Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad.
Also, by saying continue the minig of your family, whatever, it's also a way of avoiding machlokas.
It's a way of avoiding machlokas, but sometimes it can create machlokas, in which we're also going to, we'll talk about that. What happens if you're in a shul where you have 20 people and 10 of them are Nusach Ashkenaz and 10 of them are Temani? What should you do? Should you make two minyanim or not? So we'll talk about that. But it has also has the potential to make a machlok. Yeah. But yeah, it's an interesting historical development how we went from no set nusach to the Anshei Knesset HaGedola 2,500 years ago making a nusach, to then questions about which is better. But I think maybe this goes back to what we said before we started this year, or the formal part of this year, about how, hold on, I just drew a blank. How about largely most of the things are the same. The Kriyat Shema, the Shemona Esrei, it's largely the same, or like the Aruch HaShulchan, or like a few others point out, how you're saying the same ideas not necessarily the same words, but the same ideas, as opposed to the beginning of davening, the end of davening, where things would have developed later on. And then it's interesting, because I think Rav Avad Yosef also applied this to like a Psukit HaZimra, that if you're not davening the right kind of Psukit HaZimra, your tefillos aren't as likely to be heard, or something along those lines. Whereas the counter argument could be those are not ikarim of tefillah, so it might not necessarily matter which psukei zimra you do. But that's what he's. I think he takes it as far as to say that you still need to say your the psuk in Zimra that you're doing. But yeah. Be that as it may, the Pliny Halacha tells us that you should yamshich b'minag avotav, and then he says afilu im haya yadua shenusach misuyam miduyak yoter. Even if you know if there's a nusach that's more precise or that the grammar is better like he corrects grammatical mistakes or makes changes. Even still, ha'horaha he shekol adam yamshich b'minag avotav ki hamshachat hamisoret chashuva yoter me'adiktu kapartani b'mila zo. It's more important to keep up the minhagim of your parents than to make a small change in a small change here and a small change there that either some other people make or that you think you should make. It's more important, he says, to follow the minhag of your parents. And the next paragraph, in source 11, he says something very. I thought it was a great way to phrase it, and I think that everybody here will enjoy what he's about to say, where he says. Katav hachida b'shem ha'ari. So the chida says shetfilat nusach hasvardim ole b'chol shnei masar shvatim. That the nusach hasvardim, this would be some type of edot hamizrach is the all encompassing one, right? There's the 12 individuals that only work if you were davening the same nusach as your father, but if you daven nusach hasvardim, that's okay. And for him, for the chida, it's mutter for an Ashkenaz to switch to nusach svaradi because it's the all-encompassing one. So that's the chida. Next, ela shel umato chasidim. But the chasidim then say tonim shenuscham, and he puts in parentheses that svard. The nusach svard is with the chasidim are davening mishubach yoter. The chasidim say that no, their nusach is better. Shekein gedolei hachasidot bachanu badku nusachim rabim api halacha v'api kavanot hakabala. Because the gedolei chasidim, like the alter rebbe, the first Chabad, the first Lubavitch rebbe, he says the early chasidish rebbeim, they all were investigating different nuschaot, and they all came to conclude after their investigations, they adopted nusach svard. So that must mean that if all the chasidish the rebbeim, the fathers of the Hasidic dynasties all investigated and chose nusach svard, that must be the best one. Uchamuvan shigamit pali nusach Ashkenaz. So now next he says and kamuvan shigamit pali nusach Ashkenaz. He says, and as we're gonna, it makes sense also that the people daven Ashkenaz sovereign. What do they think? What do the people daven Ashkenaz think? Sheminhagam hu amiduak biyoter. They also think that they have the best minhag. Because the Ashkenazim say that, hey, we have a Mesorah that goes back to Shimon HaPakuli. The Gemara says that he's one of the people that wrote the Shmona Esrei. The Ashkenazim say, we have this Mesorah that goes back to the times of the Gemara and earlier. Our Nusach has to be the best. And the Ashkenazim also say, well, look, the minhag, the nusach, not the nusach svard, but the nusach svaradi goes back to the Gaonim in Bavel. But ours, the Ashkenazi, that goes back to the Amoraim. It goes back to earlier generations from Eretz Yisrael, which is even stronger. I think I noted last week that I think there's a scholarly debate about which came from which location. But okay, so he says, so according to the Pinyan Halach, he says that our Kabbalah, for the Ashkenazim claim, our Kabbalah goes back to Eretz Yisrael, Shahayu Bikim Yoter Be'agada V'chach Marasod V'Nuschei Tefillah. It's more precise, it's better, because we're going back to Eretz Yisrael. They were more precise, they knew better how to compose Tefillah. So then he says here, also very interesting, Agav, Zoha Siba Shebekame Dvarim Yesh Dimyon Ben Nusach Ashkenaz L'Nusach Teiman HaMikori Baladi. So he says, and I have no idea, there's a Nusach Teiman, the Baladi. There's apparently like two big Nusach, Nusachim of Teiman, and apparently the Nusach Ashkenaz is similar in many ways to this Teimani Nusach. And he says, because both of those communities claim that we got ours from Eretz Yisrael going back 2,000 years, and that's how both of them, those two places are davening similar ways. Okay, so we have the Svaradim saying that their Nusach is the best, the Hasidim saying that their Nusach is the best, and the Ashkenazim saying their Nusach is the best. So who do we leave out? So now we get to Bali Nusach Teiman. So now the Teimanim say Shenuscham Hamiduak Biyoter. They say they have the best one. Why? Shekain Yehudi Teiman b'meshach kol shanot galutam lo nadadu mimkolam. Because the Teimanim, from the day that they got exiled, they went to Teiman, and the community stayed there intact. Right, amongst almost every other community, there was a lot of moving around because the Jews got kicked out of many countries, and there was a lot of movement and a lot of integration with the outside world and other influences that might have changed the way that they were doing things. But the Teimanim say that we were secluded, we were secluded, we had nobody influencing us, we never changed anything. Uchaneged redifat haravim higbiru et akshanutam v'shirut minhageyem bekapdanu yutera. And when the Arabs were oppressing them, the Teimanim, they got even stronger, and they stood even more firmly to their beliefs to not change anything. So they say our Nusach is the best because we for sure never changed anything. We're going back thousands of years. And he says, "V'achein sifrei haTorah haTeimanim nimsu kravim biyoter b'diyukam lenusach keter aram sova hamadiyak." And this is also just kind of an aside, but proving the point is that the sifrei Torah of the Teimanim are the most similar to the sefer Torah, the keter aram sova. That's what we call that, the Aleppo Codex. That they found, I only read about this a little bit, there were some books about this recently in the last few years. They found there was some type of Tanakh that was written in the 900s in Tveria. And it's made its way, I think, through Egypt. It made its way to Syria, where it was in Syria for 600 years or something like that, maybe a little bit more. And then in 1947, I think, when it started to be clear that Israel was going to get founded, the Syrians burned the shul that it was in, and thereafter it disappeared. I think nobody knows what happened to it. Then in like 1958, somebody came to Israel, and he showed up, and he had half of it, more than half of it with him. He presented it to Israel. I think it's in the Israel Museum. It's one of the museums here, I believe. And we consider it to be of the most precise versions of the Torah because it's from the 900s. It's very old comparatively. And I think they say the Rambam, it's also, this is unclear from some of the scholars, but some scholars believe that this is what the Rambam went to look at, and the Rambam thought that it was incredibly precise and accurate. Wow. So, and then there's the whole discussion about whether it really got burned or not. That's also another interesting discussion because it disappeared and nobody knows. And I think over the years, like one or two pages have showed up in Israel that people brought here and smuggled. I don't know how. I think wow. That, so there's not, we don't really know. Unfortunately, we don't really know what happened to more than half of it. I think the scholars that investigated the half that we have, they say that they don't think that it was burned. Apparently some eyewitnesses said that they saw the whole thing, but I guess eyewitnesses, you never really know what they saw, what they did. And it's very interesting. Maybe I'll get, there's a book that somebody wrote a few, maybe I'll get the book because it's very interesting. So the Pnine Halacha, Rabbi Melamed says that, look, the Teimanim, they have, their Torahs are so similar to the Aleppo Codex that just is further proof that they're continuing in the exact same Masorah that they had for thousands of years. So now, what do we have here? Klol Shel Davar, in the next paragraph, we have every Nusach saying that it's the best. Okay? Not surprising. So Klol Shel Davar, and a very reasonable middle ground approach, L'chol Minhag Yitaron Mishalo. Every Minhag has its own advantages. And Ve'ein B'kocheinu L'achrei Ezen Minhag Meshubach Yoter. You can't. How are you going to decide? We presented four strong claims. Claim one is that is that the Nusach Sfaradi from the Chidah, the Nusach Sfaradi is the one that everybody could use. Then we have the Hasidim saying that the Alter Rebbeim all investigated and they all decided which was the best Nusach. And then we have the Ashkenazim saying we go back to Eretz Yisrael and our Nusach is the oldest and we have the best Nusach. And the Teimanim saying, but we were an insular community since we came to Teiman, who knows when, 2,000 years ago, we have the best Nusach. And what that means, and at the end of the day, the Rabbi Melamed says, who are we to decide? We can't decide this kind of question. And then he quotes the Chasam Sofer, V'chein B'shut Chasam Sofer, Shekol Nusachim Shavim, and he says, that he quotes the Chasam Sofer, that everyone is the same. And to the next page, V'af'im, even if you know that one, even if somehow we would know that one of them is better than the other, right? Because he says, even in a minhag, even if we could conclude that minhag Sfaradi is better, but Ashkenaz, minhag Nusach Ashkenaz is going to have some things that Nusach Sfarad is still not going to have. And the best thing is for you to continue what you're going to do. And here's the line where he says, and then, that even when the Sanhedrin comes in the last line in the source 11, Adayin yihye makom lidigashim shonim b'tosefet filot uvin man ginot shonot. There's still going to be a room to emphasize different things, right? Just because we're all going to say the same thing when the Sanhedrin comes, just because we have the same words doesn't mean we're going to emphasize it the same way, and it doesn't mean we're going to have the same tunes. And that's the Yud Bet Shar, and those are the 12 gates, that we're all going to have a different gate. It's not going to be in terms of the words, which is the way it is now. It's going to be in terms of what we emphasize in davening, the tunes, how we say it, like David, like you were saying earlier about, you know, you can sit around and have people taking turns reading, you can have somebody get up there, that'll be how, we'll all say the same words but in a different style. Wow. So now, we're going to talk about, now that we just said that each nusach, where I guess we'll go with this middle ground, where we can't be machria, we don't know, that each nusach is equal, and that the best thing, that each nusach is equal, and the best thing is to follow the nusach of your father, when can you in fact change your nusach? Okay, very interesting question. When can you in fact change your nusach? So the Panini Halacha, we'll see a little bit from Rav Moshe also later on, but the Panini Halacha says, the next, in this paragraph here, maybe we'll do some of this one. We'll do some of this one outside. We can do some of this inside. It goes quick. So he says, "Kefi shalamanu tzarech adam lishmor al minhag avotav." Right, you have to do the nusach of your father. V'samchu zod al pasuk al titosh Torah timecha. Right, minhagim are important in Judaism. You should follow your minhagim. But elash minhag ze eino chashuv yoter midine macherim. There are other important halacho that you have to you should follow also. It's not that we wouldn't say that the minhag of your fathers is more important necessarily than other rules and other laws. And now, based on that, if he's going to go on to say in this paragraph, if you daven in the shul of the nusach of your nusach, but you're not going to have as good kavana. He doesn't exactly say why. I think Rav Moshe sets it up a little bit later, an exact case. But be that as it may, whatever the case is, you will not have such good kavanah if you daven nusach Ashkenaz. We're all Ashkenazim here. Your kavanah is not going to be so great. But if you daven nusach Sfard, for whatever reasons, you have better kavanah. You just have better kavanah. Nusach Yudavin, Nusach Teiman. You have better kavana. In that case, it's more important to have better kavana for your davening than it is to follow the minhag of your parents. Because, but I think this is back to Gary's point, starting off with, right, at the beginning there was nothing. Then we had the text to help us with our kavana. We didn't know how to express things. So really, the main part of davening is kavana. It's more important for you to have kavana than it is to daven the nusach of your family. So therefore, if somebody decides that they're going to have better kavana davening in a certain shul that's not their nusach, go there. More important for you to daven in that nusach than it is for you to go to your own nusach to daven your nusach. Basically, okay. That is example one. He also has a line in here, an interesting line. I guess this would be, I don't know if it's a sociological line or a psychological line about how sometimes when people are younger, they don't necessarily follow in the ways of their father, but as they get older, then they have a deeper connection. He says, when you get older, as you get older, maybe you feel more of a connection. I thought that was an interesting line, but that's his first. This is his first example of when you could switch your nusach. And he says, and you know what? We actually have, remember we said last week that Rabbi Nassan Adler, he was the Rabbi of the Chasam Sofer, and the Hafla was the other Rabbi. They both switched their nusach to some type of Sfaradi. They even brought in Rabbi Nassan Adler brought somebody from Israel, from Yerushalayim, who came to teach him the way to pronounce it. Wow. So he says, and you know why? So Pinina Halacha says, you know why they did that? Because for them, they had better Kavana. That's the whole point. They had better kavana in the other nusach, so they changed it. And he says, but their sons and their yeshivas never changed, because for them, they wouldn't have had that. They wouldn't have understood the same Kabbalistic intonations. They wouldn't have understood the Arizal, what the Arizal was going on behind the scenes. So for the Rabbi Nosson Eder, he changed it, but his Talmidim didn't change it. And he says it's the same thing a little bit for the Chassidim, that the alter Rebbeim of all the different Chassidic dynasties, the Rebbeim, they knew what was going on. They had the right the intentions. He says for their Chassidim, they probably didn't necessarily, but he says for whatever reason it was, the Rebbe decided that everybody was going to daven Nusach Sfard, even though that it was the Rebbe that was really understanding, having more kavana from doing so. And he says already today, nobody's going to argue that the regular Chassidim or somebody who's just a simple guy should go back to Nusach Ashkenaz, just because that's what the Chassidim or davening nowadays. But that's the first exception to the rule of following your fathers, is if you're going to have better kavana. The second, and he has in this section, he has three times that a person should switch, and they're all very interesting. The second one, in the next paragraph, he says, if somebody, you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and there's a different shul that davens Nusach Teiman, right? Your shul doesn't have any shiurim. You would just go daven, you go home. But the other shul, you learn more Torah in. Somebody says a Dvar Halacha after davening, everybody sits down after, and they take out a Sefer, and they teach. Whatever the case is, if one shul you're going to be able to learn more Torah in, he says that's also a good reason to switch your nusach to go to that shul. Because in your shul, you're going to go daven and go home. The other shul, you're going to daven, you're going to stick around, you're going to learn something. So that would be another good reason to switch.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wait, was that was his, yeah, that was his second example.
He's saying
it's a good question. I think in these cases, he's saying go to another shul, right? The next question is going to be, well, when you're in that other shul, should you?
Question.
Yeah, yeah, well, we're going to come to that. That's going to be our next question, yeah. Hmm. It's a good point. Here, I mean, he's talking about switching your nusach, so presumably if you went to that shul, you would at least, we'll see from the lacha, you would at least be switching some of your nusach. According to Rova Poskim, right? You're not going to be saying the same kedusha in Nusach Teiman as you're going to be saying.
It must be switched shuls, because it would. I mean, it wouldn't make sense. Stay in your shul and change your nusach.
No. Right, you go to the other shul. The question is just in the other shul. What nusach should you say? He has this in a paragraph where he's talking about switching a nusach. But you could, yeah, it's arguable. That's like I said, you're going to be switching some of your nusach at the very least. We'll see that in a few minutes. You'll have to say kedusha. You'll say their kedusha. You'll say their tachanun. You might have to say more, even more of that. So at the very least, you'll be switching some of your nusach. But it was a good question. So that's the second example where he says, at least, the way we can phrase it now is, you shouldn't go to the Nusach Ashkenaz shul, you should go to the Nusach Teiman shul, or whatever other Nusach, the Nusach Sfar, whatever other Nusach they have, what they're doing there. And the third example that he gives, and this is also a very, very interesting one, he says, if in the other shul, you'll be able to make a stronger connection to the people there in a way that will strengthen your Judaism. But they're just more from what you call, quote unquote, whatever it is, you're going to feel like you're part of a group that's going to be influencing you in a positive way from going to the other shul. Ramosha's tshuva that we'll see in a few minutes, his tshuva is about people who daven some type of Nusach Sfaradi, and they were going to the Ashkenazi shul because for them it was strengthening them. They felt they were part of a stronger kehilah. That's I guess the best way to phrase this. If you feel like you're going to be in a stronger kehilah, and then it's going to influence you in all the positive ways in your davening, in your outlook, in a lot of things, in your Torah learning, in a lot of things, then it's better to walk past your Nusach Ashkenaz or your Nusach Sfard or whatever Nusach you want to go to the shul that's going to have a better influence on you, that you'll be join a stronger group of people. And that would be his third example of when you can not go to one of your Nusach minion and go to a minion of a different Nusach. Any questions or comments? I find these to be very interesting, personally.
No, it is. I mean, well, it's like a lot of, we're very fortunate, we have so many different shuls here. Okay.
Yes.
But I mean, a lot of people, they like to go to the Happy Minion, because they like this davening there.
Yeah,
they feel stronger. With the Kihila, you know, I mean, it just it's exactly what you're saying. You know that he said. You know,
yeah, yeah, and you're giving examples of the people that even shuls davening nusach Ashkenaz. We live in a time where if everybody's davening the same nusach but different tunes, whatever.
I guess for us, I mean, for me, the contemporary question here is a daven in Gilgal, which is officially nusach Sfard.
Oh yeah.
Does that mean I should daven nusach Sfard because that's what the official nusach of the shul is?
We'll talk. So that's what we'll talk about that. We're gonna.
What about switching?
What
about switching your seder from if you're doing Ashkenaz and then you find out they switch to nusach Sfard? The thing is, you're supposed to go and get a nusach Sfard seder.
That's the same. That's the same question. The same question is, what should you be saying? What should you be saying? Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute or two. Actually, we're going to come to that because that's an important question. Okay. So the final example, and this one I also find very interesting, that the Pnine Halacha gives. This is more on a communal level because, like we were saying, we're going to talk in a few minutes about what people should do personally. But on a communal level, the Pnine Halacha says that if you have a lot of shuls and each one is going to be very weak. You should, I think he says you should consult with your rabbi. He says you should consult with the rabbi, but it's better to have a stronger kihila that is all davening the same nusach than to have groups of 10 and 10 and 10 and 10 and 10 and 10 that are each davening, that are each maintaining the minhag of their avotehem. So this is an example on a communal level where what would likely override following the minhag of your parents is the idea of having a strong, a big shul with lots of people davening in it. And he says this is a hard thing to do. In the third paragraph, and we skip most of this inside, but he says lefichach tzarich b'chol makom lishkol et ha'arachim zeh mul zeh. You have to weigh everything against each other. Weigh the positives of davening the minhag of your parents against the positives of davening having a large crowd all davening at the same time together in a stronger community. But he says he's of the opinion that if it's going to be really small minyanim, a bunch of them, then it's better to daven all together. So it's interesting because I remember when I was very young going to the Lower East Side or all the shtievels, and each one had like 10 people. That's what I remember. Each one had their barely had the minyan. So here we have that's a different style also, but here there's an idea of everybody davening together, making a stronger kehila. And like he also said before, the stronger kehila impacts people. People feel better about themselves. People feel a stronger connection to their Judaism when there's a stronger kehila. Your friends, your friends, everybody influences each other for the positive. So these are all reasons that it might make sense to not have small, very small groups, each having their own nusach, and to have one shul for everybody. So now the question is, if you're davening in a shul that is a different nusach than you yourself daven, what should you do? So there's going to be multiple opinions about this, as was predicted, and I think we spoke about this a little bit. So the Pnine Halacha here tells us a bunch of the opinions, and we'll also talk about practically what seems to be what we should actually do in this case. So the Pnine Halacha says, Haragil b'nusach echad u'balid pala b'minyan neshe b'nusach achir. Usually you daven one nusach. This is in source 14 at the bottom. Usually you daven one nusach, and you go to a shul that's davening another nusach. So Yesh Omrim, there is one opinion that's going to say, daven everything like they're doing it in that minyan, because Shayachidim Nigroim Acharav, because you're joining with their minyan. If you want to be a part of their minyan, you should be doing what they're doing. And Ve'im Hu Noig Kimin Haga Vifneim, if you daven your minhag, Yesh Vazem Mishum Iser Lotit Godedu, you're going to possibly violate Lotit Godedu. You're going to be making too many groups of people. We don't like to have this people in the same place doing opposite things. And he quotes Kia Isr Hu Shaloyu Bebetin Echad Miksat Shalochim Bishita Becham and Bisa Bishita Beit Hillel. The Kide Shalo Teyasa Torah the Shte Torah. The Gemara points out that you don't want to have a Beis Din where some people are following the opinion of Beis Shammai and some people are following the opinion of Beis Hillel, because now it looks like we have two Torahs. There's two totally different rules, systems that are at work. We want in one place you tend to want to have the same, everybody following the same rules. The Imkain, Gam, so what these poskim are saying is, just like we don't want to have Dayanim, one following Beit Shammai, one following Beit Hillel, Same thing in shul. We don't want where Yudas and Efso guy, somebody else in your davening, Ashkenaz, and he's davening Sfaradi. And then he quotes, "Va'ot she'amru chachamim shelo yishana adam minhag ha'makom mibnei ha'machloket." Right? You should also not change from the minhag of the makom because you're going to create a machloket. We try to avoid machloket. You don't want to create any sort of fights with anybody there that you're not doing the same thing as them. So this is one opinion, not the majority opinion, but one opinion. If you're davening in that other shul, everything you daven should be like what they're doing. And now ledat rov ha'posim, but the rov ha'posim don't say this. The majority of the poskim say, "Bidvarim she'omrim b'sheket," the things that you say quietly, and we're going to have to, now, after this, we're going to talk, we have to figure out what things you say quietly and what things you don't, because it's not going to be as obvious as you might think. The things that you say to yourself, yuchal lehipala kinusa chavotav, the things that you say to yourself, you could daven in your own nosach. For example, Shmona Esrei. This would be, I think, l'chuleyama. Shmona Esrei, according to this opinion, if you're davening, you daven nusach Ashkenaz, and you're in a place that's davening nusach Sfar, well, it's going to be small differences, but more, it could be nusach Teiman, where there's slight, a few more differences. Daven your own nusach for Shmona Esrei. Right, it's not noticeable. Nobody knows what Shmona Esrei you're saying.
Right.
So if nobody knows what Shmona Esrei you're saying, there's not gonna be any machloket. There's not gonna be any issues if you're just saying the Shmona Esrei that you're accustomed to. And then he says, if there's not going to be machloket, there's not going to be lotit godidu. Lotit godidu was about everybody arguing about who to follow. Bishama bishilod, nusach Ashkenaz, nusach Sfar. Here, you're davening to yourself, so nobody's going to know. We'll talk about a chazan in a few minutes. If you're the chazan, if you're the shliach tzibur. For the stuff out loud, you would have to say the nusach of the shul. But if you're shliach tzibur, chazar shatz, you would have to say, that's something out loud, you would have to say that if you're nusach Ashkenaz according to this opinion, I think a more standard opinion, according to even the first opinion, according
they
to
don't, they don't do that.
Who?
Who? Well, I mean,
okay, we'll talk about modern day Israel is a little bit different, right? I didn't know that that shul actually was Nesach Sfar, because so many people who get up there and do Nesach Ashkenaz, that I didn't know.
Because virtually every shul in Maladimim is officially
here too.
Here
also.
I'm not saying it's not enforced that way.
I thought that the shuls here were whatever the chazan wanted. That's what I thought.
That will in practice. That's what's done. But it's not the official. They have kind of an official.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Because I think there's only one shul in Malavim that's officially Nusach Ashkenaz.
Oh yeah.
But that's. I mean, that's
which
Israel.
One?
I think Musar Avicha.
Musar Avicha. Okay.
But it goes the other way also. Musavicha, people get up and down.
And do the other
way.
Yeah, that seems to be the practice in Israel. We'll talk more about that at the end. We'll talk about the common practice, because it's a little bit different than what we're talking about here. But what we're saying now is the things that you say out loud, you should do what everybody else is doing. The things that you say to yourself, that you can dive in the nusach that you feel comfortable with. And he says that aval bedvarim shu omram bekol ram yipal kenosach shel aminyan kidei shelo litzor machloket vishoni bein hamitpalim. Right? Because you don't want to make everybody argue. You don't want to look different from everybody else. You're part of the tzibor. The things that are out loud, you should do the same as them. And in the footnote on this, now we're going to come to some practical examples of this in the next three sources. So the footnote here, the Pnine Halacha says, "Bitfila bilachas shitpalo k'minhago." Right. So, like we said, something that you're saying Shmona Esrei, you say your own minhag, but uvikdusha shene'emer bikol yitpalo k'mo chazan. Kedusha, you should say like the chazan. Everybody says kedusha out loud. So for kedusha, if you're whatever the nusach that the chazan is doing, and it actually leads to problems, because a lot of times I find myself trying to guess. If you know what the chazan is, you know what he's going to do. But a lot of times you have to try to guess, at least at the beginning of kedusha, what he's going to do.
Well, it's the two words, you know.
Yeah, but everybody,
when you hear Keter,
but half the minyan always says Keter, and the other half always says the Ashkenaz version, and then you have to try to guess what's going to happen until you hear what the chazan says. If you're paying close attention, you could tell from Kaddish if he's going to say which Kaddish he says, But okay, so Kiddush is something that we should say. Whatever the Chazan is saying is what we should say. Ulegabe psuke de zimra. So now psuke de zimra, birchol kriyat shema, v'seder nefilat apayim, nistapku. But psuke de zimra, and the brachot of kriyat shema, and tachanun, there's going to be a discussion, and now we're going to see what you should do for those. So the Igrot Moshe, and this is the Igrot Moshe that we have in the next source, so I'm not sure we'll see this whole it inside, but the Igrot Moshe says, Kivan Shara Shaila Omram Bekol. Because a lot of times people, there's, Shmona Esrei, I guess, you say to yourself, you're not supposed not to interrupt other people, but Psukit is Zimra, nothing is necessarily stopping you from saying it louder, you and everybody else saying it louder, Bicha Krishma. So because those things potentially could be said louder, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Mutav Sheyomram Benosach Achazim. Because those are things that at times, or that they potentially could be said out loud, better to daven the Psukit is Zimra of whatever the minion is. Right, even though a lot of times, I think we'll see other opinions on this, but even though a lot of times, you know, you're just saying Pesukei Dezimra to yourself because you potentially could say it out loud, Rav Moshe doesn't, he in the Tshuva, we'll see it in a minute, he doesn't say you must say Pesukei Dezimra with the same Nusach of the Chazan. He says it's better to. It's better to say Pesukei Dezimra with the Nusach of the Chazan. V'chein le'inyan nefilat apayim b'sheni v'chamishi, and also for Tachanun, shel Nusach Sfarad noflim l'fnei Tachanunim u'l'nusach Ashkenaz achrei Tachanunim. So Nusach Sfarad, what do? They actually say the Tachanun part where you put your arm down. Yeah. They say that before V'hurachum.
Yes.
Not V'hurachum. Before the long Tachanun, and the Ashkenaz, we do Nefilat Tapayim, the part afterwards. Mm-hmm. So he says this is the same thing. Shelo Yishanim Minag Hamakom. That's also, if you're in this case, right, if everybody falls down on their arm and you're still standing there, and then they're standing and you go down in your arm, then it's very obvious and noticeable. You're doing something different than everybody else. So Rav Moshe says, for Tachanun, you should really follow the Minhag of Minag Hamakom, Kihu Davar Bole, because it's noticeable. Basically, what we're saying is, whenever you do something that's different than everybody else, do what they're doing. But if nobody's going to notice that you're doing something different than them, then it would be okay for you to do the way that your nusach is. So, if we just pause here, there's a same. I found the Rabbi Torchiner, the Rosh Kollel in Toronto, in the Why You Told Me See on Kollel, in Source 16. This is from the weekly. They have a weekly announcements in the shul. So, in Source 16, he does a short like halacha. I normally daven nusach Ashkenaz. Which tachanun should I say when I daven in a nusach Sfarad minyan? That's the question. And so Rabbi Torchiner says, as a rule, one should not deviate visibly from the minyan in which he davens. Therefore, one who is davening in a nusach Sfarad minyan should recite vidui. Right? You have to say vidui too. Otherwise, everybody's going to be pounding their chest, and you're going to be standing there doing nothing, and it's going to be very obvious that you're not doing what they're doing. And the 13 attributes of divine mercy, as they do, for the same reason, one who normally davens nusach Sfar, but it's in a nusach Ashkenaz minyan, you should recite vidui quietly, right? Because their nusach is to say vidui, but don't strike your chest. Because if you're nusach Sfar striking your chest whenever nobody else is, then it's noticeable that you're doing something different. But if you're just whispering words, it's going to be slightly less noticeable. I don't wonder if that's agreed on by all. I could imagine, I could imagine that not every post agrees to that. And Rabbi Torchiner says the same rule applies regarding the order of the sections of Tachanun on Mondays and Thursdays. And this is really the rule, and I think this is the common psak, but it's probably going to be slightly different here. We'll come to that later on. But the general rule is you should not differ visibly from the rest of the minyan. I think it could be different from here is because like Gary was pointing out a few minutes ago, is that here, I guess in Israel, I don't think it's like this in the United States or Canada, it really became a mix and mash of which minhag you're doing, to the point that so many people, on Monday you do this, and on Tuesday you do this, and on Wednesday you do that, that it's very hard to say that you're making yourself different from everybody else, because there's almost no basic standard to measure yourself up against. Right. So we'll see that at the end, in a few minutes, but... But in general, this is a good idea. I think that this is what I try to do also, because I think I must have heard this from my Rebbeim and from other teachers, is that we should try to do the things out loud. We should try to say everything that's going on out loud, do the nusach, do it with the shul, and the things to yourself, you could say for your nusach. So if we go back to the, already, if we go back to this source 14 in that footnote that we were doing from Panina Halacha, he says Amnam Haminag Harevach Shekol Adam Shekol Echad in five lines down from the little bracket with the three Shekol Echad Mitpalal Kminhago. He says the minhag really became, and because he lives in Israel, and he's talking about it. So the minhag really became that people are davening according to their minhag. Shehol V'yadua Sheyesh Bazem Minhagim Shonim. Right, and this is, I guess, similar to what we were saying. Everybody knows in Israel there's a lot of different minhagim, and just because everybody's doing something different, we seem to have accepted it. He says, but at the end of the day, you have to make sure that you're not saying something out loud different from the Chazan. That's you have to make sure that it's not different than the Chazan. Then he quotes he quotes Rav Avadia Yosef, who says that even with the things that the shul says out loud, you should still say it for your minhag. For your minhag, just don't say it out loud, which is also another interesting idea, right? If everybody's saying, I guess you could whisper keter or something like that, as long as you're not saying it out loud, that would be okay. And the conclusion that the Panini Halacha has here is that two lines up from the bottom, Ulamaisa mipala rashai livchor im leilech achar achazen o achar nusacho. At the end of the day, because there's a lot of strong, especially in Israel, there's a lot of strong opinions on both sides, that both are very logical, you can choose. You choose. You want to daven according to the nusach of the person who's davening, fine. You want to daven to your nusach, fine. But you should make sure that everything that you say out loud, you say according to the nusach of the chazen, and that seems to be the halacha that we're gonna go with. So we'll probably skip it from 15. 15 is the tshuva of Rav Moshe, where at the end of it he talks about Pesukei Zimra and Birchal Kriyat Shema, that because people say it out loud, he says it's better for you to say it in the nusach of the shul. But his conclusion is Lachain, the last line in 15, Lachain im kasha lefanav lomar shalok kergelo. If it's difficult for you to say the nusach, Pesukei Zimra, to say nusach svard or something like that, so then say your nusach, right? He says it's better to say the nusach of the chazan, but if not, not such a big deal. So now we have a few more points here, two more points that we're going to talk about here. In the next source we're going to do it from the Igros Moshe. We're not going to do it inside, but the first half of the tshuva, he talks about people who daven this some type of svaradi. I don't know what they were davening, and they want to become members of the Ashkenazi shul because the Ashkenazi shul was very strong and serious and a lot of shiurim, like we said before, reasons that you could switch. So Rav Moshe says, tells them of course they should become members. I'm not sure what the question was exactly. He says of course you should become members of the shul, and you can be the gabbai and you can participate, and he says he thinks it's even a mitzvah, not a mitzvah the right. He says it's a mitzvah, i.e., like a good idea for you to do it because you're gonna strengthen your Judaism. You're gonna learn more Torah. Go. Of course, become members of the shul. You'll support the shul. Of course, he tells them you could do it. And in the line that I underlined here, he says something slightly different from the tshuva we saw last week. He says the kol hanuschaot heim shavin lekiyum mitzvah tatfila ulahakdusha v'yesh lechol nusach makor al kol teva v'teva. Right, for the tshuva that we summarized at the beginning, where he told the person that they should go back to nusach Ashkenaz instead of nusach Sfard like their father. Now he says really each nusach is more or less equal, and each one has a lot of positives, and they're all kind of equal. But in the next line, he says, what happens? What if you're the chazin in a minyan? Not like here, where the chazin does what they want. You're the chazin in a place where they're davening a different nusach. What should you do? So he says, lachein dvarim sorry. In the next line, underline, uchshehu shaliach tzibor, sarech lomar kinusach hatzibor. If you're the shliach tzibor, even your own quiet Shmona Yisrael, right? We said, you can say, at least according to some, but Rov Posim, if you can always say the Shmona Yisrael in the Nusach if you want. But Rav Moshe says, if you're the Shliach Tzibur, you should say the Nusach that the Shul is davening in, but not for reasons that you might think. He says, Kevan Shu Lahastir Tfilato. So that you know what to do. If you get up there and daven and say you're saying Shmona Yisrael in Nusach Sfard, but you have to do Chazar Hashas in Nusach Ashkenaz, you're not going to practice it. You're not going to have gone through it. It's going to be much more difficult for you, and it would not be a good idea for you to change the Nusach of a shul. So he says, if your own private Shmona Yisrael, say whatever you want to. Sorry, don't say whatever you want to say. Theoretically, you could say whatever you want to say. Practically, say the nusach of the shul so that when you have to do Chazar Hashas, you're going to know what you're doing. You're not going to stumble over everything. The Panini Alach, and one of the footnotes quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman that he says because people are reading from a Siddur nowadays, it's not as strong of a claim because you can just read from the Siddur, but I think it's still a strong claim. You know, it's very easy to get confused and to get thrown off and to stumble, and it's a good idea to it seems like a good idea to say the Shmoneh Esrei in the Nusach of the shul that you're davening. But Rav Avadia Yosef doesn't agree to that, because if you remember, Rav Avadia Yosef says that somebody davens Nusach Svar, it's better. You can't go to Nusach Ashkenaz, right? So Rav Avadia Yosef says, if you're in a nusach, and then he says, umid in source 18, umide dabri zachor azkor, this is from the same tshuva, etasher nishalti mikvar meish yareh shamayim svaradish ayaragi lavar levnei teva liyotshech tzivar toch yud bet chodesh shel aviv. He was an avel. So the question is, somebody who's a svaradi, and he's an avel, so he's the one who goes to be the shlech tzibur. Ella shelifamim, but sometimes he davens next door to him. There was a nusach Ashkenaz shul, so can he be the shliach tzibur in the nusach Ashkenaz shul? So you might have thought that if he was davening to himself, he'd at least be saying his own nusach. So Rav Avadia tells him not to. Horeti lo sheim yaskimu kol akal sheyitpala benusach hasvaradim. If everybody there agrees to daven nusach svaradi, then you can be the shliach tzibur. Beim lav shev al tase aldif. He says better for you to sit back, to not be the shliach tzibur, if that's going to mean you're going to have to daven something Ashkenaz. And I think what you see, right, he says better to not be the chazan, and for you to just daven on your seat. Daven at your seat, Nusach Sfaradi, then for you to go be the Shliach Tzibur, and whatever you're davening by yourself, you would have to say out loud, you'd have to say Nusach Ashkenaz. So to be the Shliach Tzibur, Rav Moshe would seem to say no problems, but you should daven the Nusach of the Shul because you know what to do. And Rav Avadia Yosef says no, it's at least for a Sfaradi, right? Going for the other way around, he probably would say it's fine because you're upgrading, right. Quote unquote, because he said that the Ashkenazi that Nusach Sfaradi is the better one. But for the Sfaradi, he would tell him not to be the Shliach Tzibur. And then just like Panina Halacha quotes the third opinion, right? We have three opinions so far. We have Rav Avadia Yosef says don't bichaz, and we have Rav Moshe says bichaz medavin the nusach of the shul for your own silent Shmoneh Esrei. Panina Halacha says you could even daven your own. I guess we saw this from Rav Shlomo Zalman, but Panina Halacha says in source 19 vachazan haover lifnei ateva beveit knesset shebenusach acher tzarech leitpal kiminagam. Obviously, you're going to have to daven according to the minhag of the shul b'mineishu mipal b'shlichutam, because you're the shaliach tzibur. You're their shaliach. You need to daven their nusach, but even if the chazan could daven the nusach that he wants, his own nusach. So this is the shliach tzibur. So now, basically, to summarize what we said is that really, then we'll do source 19. One more. We got one more. If everybody has another 2 minute or two. Just quick summarize, the things that we say out loud, you're going to want to say according to the nusach of the shul. We saw the Rav Avadia Yosef, you really should. The things that say out loud, you should say according to the nusach of the shul, and that basically means kedusha, everything that you would look different for, you should say the yud gimel mido, you should do vidu, yud gimel mido, switch the order of tachanun because you don't want to fall on your arms or not. That you should do with like everybody else, but the things that you say quietly, you could do your own nusach. And we saw that Rav Moshe said that because Pesukim is Zimra, people sometimes say that loud, and same thing with Kriyat Shema, better to say that in the nusach of the shul and not your own personal nusach. But there certainly is, I think Panini Halacha quotes it, there's certainly, if you want to say your own nusach, that would be because you're saying it belachash, that would be okay. And the final source is now takes us to the Israel, the more contemporary Israel practice. In the Pnine Halacha, and this is, I don't know, I think we'll necessarily do all this inside, but he says, "Bimakomot rabim mipalalim b'nei kol haidu b'yachad." In a lot of places, everybody davens together. Right, and he says, and this is how it is in a lot, in the yeshivot, everybody from different yusach is davening together. So he says that, right, so usually you make one. He says, but Sibur Shalanu Sharagilu Makir Tamin Hagim. He said nowadays everybody's very cognizant and aware of the different minhagim. So therefore, Right, he says you give some type of expression, you kind of let everybody get a little bit of their nusach into the tefillah that we're all davening together. And in his yeshiva, this is the part that I found very, very interesting. And he quotes the minhag that we do. He says if somebody's Sfarad, Nusach Sfarad gets up to daven, you go by him. And if somebody Nusach Ashkenaz, you go by him. He says even if somebody Temani, in a lot of places, somebody Temani. Basically, in Israel nowadays, we have Chazan's choice. Whatever the person's going to do, we let every Nusach express itself in our shuls nowadays. So, but a lot of times this could lead to some types of conflict because half the people say this and half the people don't say this. So in his yeshiva, in Har Bracha, he tells us, and I found this fascinating, Sheyesh hevdelim gidolim bein haminhagim, when there's big differences, minhagenu leilech achar hamikatzrim. He says we go by the shorter one. That's what we do. The shorter. If something is shorter, we go by that. And he gives example. I'm fascinated. He says on the fast days on Behab, Mondays and Thursdays, where the Ashkenazim say long slicho, they don't do it because that's longer. And they don't say the Shir Hashirim like the Svaradim before Shabbat because that's longer. And he basically says anybody who wants to do something longer, yeah, come early and stay late, but that's not going to be part of the official tefillah. And he goes through it. He says if it's really, really small, and he says like the end of davening where the Sfaradim say their Pitum HaKetorah apparently is a little bit longer than the one we say. He says it's really small, so we say fine. We let you do it if it's just a very small thing, but otherwise if it's like a Slichot or a Shir HaShirim or something, some other type of longer style thing, then the Nusach, even though it's Chazan's choice, we're not going to let the and get up and do that. And I think that exists here too. This is just my final point here. I just thought of it now. In L'David Hashem, the Nusach of the Shul here was, the Shul just said it in Shacharis and in Mariv, even though Nusach Sfarad is to say it in Shacharis and Mincha, the Shul here decided that just Shacharis and Mariv, because I think because otherwise you could have a system where you would say Shacharis, Mincha, and Mariv, right? So there have to be some type of rules in a place where there's Chazan's choice, like in the Yeshiva and Har Bracha, they don't say the longer stuff. Here also, and I'm sure in lots of other places, they have to make some type of rules just to make sure that or conversely, you could have skipped L'David Hashem at Mincha and at Mariv if the opposite person was davening each one, so you kind of have to make some rules, but that seems to be in Israel. And accordingly, in that system, it's very much more arguable that you can just daven whatever nusach you want, as long as you're not doing it out loud. If you're in a place where everybody's switching and mixing and matching, etc.
His answer is a very good Israeli answer. That's a tipping of the
Well, he's a Rosh Hashiva. Yeah, Rosh Hashiva in Israel. Okay, so... Yeah, so next week, God willing, we'll do something on Halachot of Chanukah.